Okay, we're going to continue on in Galatians. Galatians 3. Paul's, again, making this great distinction. These false teachers had come in. We're wanting to add to the gospel. Or to make it better. To complete it. You know, there's folks today talking another gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, that's what the Mormons try to push forward. But there's only been one gospel. There's only been one way. But these false teachers that come into Galatians say, well, yeah, you guys started by grace, but, well, you know, you just need to add a little bit more. You need to bring it to completion. You need a little bit more. And you need to add on the law. And we've seen as Paul has addressed these things. And then, beginning in verse 10, what we've been looking at for several weeks, Paul speaks of the curse of the law. There's no salvation in the law. You know, there's no justification in the law. And he pointed out that Abraham was justified before he was circumcised. He was justified before the law. As in verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law, those that seek justification in the law, are under the curse. What is written? Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You want the law? You have to take all of the law. And you have to take it without any variance and in complete perfection. And because of that, he continued on and told us in verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. No man. And you say, well, a few, some, the good guys, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. And then he speaks again of salvation, justification by faith. For the just, the justified, those that are declared justified, even as Abraham was declared justified, the just shall live by faith. And again, not that misunderstood thing today where you try to whip up a little bit of psychological thing in somebody to get them to walk an aisle and pray a sinner's prayer. No, God-given faith. The faith of Christ Jesus. That's the only faith that avails. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, for it is evident the just shall live by faith. And so that they wouldn't misunderstand, in verse 12, remember Paul went on and says, but the law is not of faith. You can't add it in. The law has its purpose, and Paul's going to get into that as we continue to study the book. But the law is not of faith. But the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Again, there's, can't mix it all up. A little bit of grace, a little bit of the law. Now, if you want the law, you get it all. And if you get it all, you're under the curse. There is hope. And only one hope. And there's ever only been one hope. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul gets into verse 13. Which I think we got down to, started last week anyway. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Those who are amongst God's chosen people, those that are amongst God's elect. And it's nothing in them. It's nothing to be poke our chest out and be proud about. Because it wasn't anything in us. It was all by God's own good pleasure. But all those that are amongst Christ's chosen people are redeemed from the curse of the law. And it doesn't mean what, you know, people twist it today, these folks, and get into licentiousness and antinomians that, well, it means, well, a Christian can just do anything, can just live. It doesn't matter. It does matter. I pointed out last week, I've actually heard folks, well, it doesn't matter how I live. It doesn't matter what I do because I'm saved. Well, if you've got that attitude, you better examine yourself whether you're in the faith. Well, it don't matter. I can do whatever I want to. That's not what we're saved unto. Read up there in Ephesians, for we're saved unto good works. We're not saved by them. But if you're not bringing anything forth, you better examine yourself. But those that are his are not under the curse. And being thus, they won't desire to violate God's revealed will. We've been redeemed. We have been redeemed. We've been bought back. We have been purchased. That's the same word they would use, purchase someone out of slavery. Now, we were a slavery to self and to sin. And Jesus Christ redeemed us from that. He purchased us. Actually, he bought us back. Because we're his by creation. And we're his by his redemption. We've been bought back. It says, being made a curse for us. Now, that's, again, so important today. I'll talk to these preachers and this. Oh, I believe in the substitutionary atonement. Do you? Do you? We believe Christ died for everybody. Do you believe everybody's going to go to heaven? They'll say, oh, no, I don't believe that. Well, then, how is there a substitutionary atonement? If Christ died for this person, he died as their substitute, and they still go to hell. They don't believe in the substitutionary atonement. They believe in substitutionary chance, you know. Christ died to give everybody a chance. If you give me a chance, I'll mess it up. I guarantee you. I give you a chance to be saved. You just got to do this and that. Now this is back like being under the law again. I can't do it. Now it says, but Christ hath redeemed us. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Again, it's important. I repeat this. He didn't simply die in our behalf, though he did that. But he died in our stead. He died in our place. He died instead of us. That means we're not under the curse of the law anymore. It never can be. The curse of the law was transferred from this wretched sinner to Jesus Christ. He hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And again, that us are the people of God, the people of Christ. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Paul's speaking to the children of God, the elect of God. That fellow I was talking to this, and I talked about these people, these churches. All they claim to believe, like we do, they claim to be sovereign grace. You know, just because it says a sovereign grace landmark, they don't. They claim to believe that. But I know some of them, you can go there for a year and never hear anything like this. You won't hear anything different than if you went to Jack Hiles' church. And yet they'll claim to believe these things. How do you believe those things and not preach them? No, if you don't preach them, you don't believe them. I'm sorry. You can tell me that and sign up and be a part of the Sovereign Grace Club and whatever. He was made a curse for us, for the elect of God. Those that were given, him in the everlasting covenant, the eternal covenant. Who are those people? I don't know. That's not totally my, and like I've told you many times before, it's kind of like Saul of Tarsus. If there ever was a man that I would have said was a reprobate before the Lord met him on the road to Damascus, I'd say that Saul of Tarsus is a reprobate. He's going to split hell wide open. He was one of God's elect. But who would have known it? But those us, God knows. Scripture says he knows those that are his. And again, that passage in Matthew, before the Lord began his earthly ministry, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. That us is his people. It's a particular redemption. People don't like that. They say, well, that's not fair. Everybody should get a chance. But they don't understand. If it was not a particular redemption, it's no redemption at all. Because again, we would just blow it. If he died to give us a chance, to give everybody a chance, to give everybody an opportunity. No, he died for us. He was made a curse for us. Paul Wright wrote to the young preacher Titus in Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. That doesn't necessarily mean really strange, but maybe in my case it does. But these are special people, set aside people, and purify. Of course, the world thinks we're all peculiar. You know that, don't you? And purify himself a peculiar people. You know what the rest of that verse says? Zealous of good works. You see? That's not what saves us. But that's what marks us. That's what manifests us. For he gave himself for us. So when Paul speaks of that he died for us, that he became a curse for us, he's speaking of particular people. And if you're one of God's, like, you just put your name in there, because that's how particular it is. He wasn't just trying to do the best he could. What kind of God some of these people worship today? I don't know. The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Try to bring everybody. That's not what... That he might bring us, the elect of God, to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit, that he might bring us to God. And let me say this too. I know English changes over the years and people don't know. That word might expresses no doubt. Now, we kind of use that word like, well, something might happen. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. That's not what that word might means. It, in the original language, is what is called a purpose clause. And it expresses the purpose that in order that he bring us to God. That's what that means. It doesn't mean, well, maybe yes and maybe no. That's ridiculous. It was done in order that he would bring us to God. That was the purpose of that, to bring us to God. And let me say this. What he purposes, he accomplishes. What he purposes, he does. You don't have to worry about that. It's going to be done. It's a done deal. He was made a curse for us. He took our place. And lest there be any doubt about that, the Old Testament instruction is concerning those who are executed at the stake, or those who are executed for crucifixion. They're cursed. Deuteronomy 21:23, and Paul's alluding to this certainly. Deuteronomy 21:23. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. That thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. One who was executed on a tree, or was hanged from a tree or from a stake, was executed, he was cursed of God. And Paul demonstrates here that Christ was cursed of God. And you see, ironically, see, the death of Christ then became a great stumbling block to many of the Jews, those that weren't amongst God's elect, because here's a man that was manifestly cursed. He was hanged on a tree. He was cursed of God. And they just couldn't accept that. But the truth is, if they would accept their own scriptures, they would have known that. Christ's substitutionary death was taught from the very beginning. He that was without sin was to be cursed for us instead of us. God spoke those truths to the prophet Isaiah. And we'll look over a passage here, and I'll try to get through it quicker. But and in Isaiah we see an example again that the gospel preached to the Old Testament saints. Now God revealed these things in his own way and to individuals, but he preached the gospel to the Old Testament saints. Isaiah preached the gospel. He preached the substitutionary death. He preached that Christ would be cursed for us. And you all know I'm going over to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 12. And I'll just read them and comment briefly as I go along. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who has believed our report? Those to whom the arm of the Lord is revealed. There's only one. God reveals it. Even as the Lord told Peter that time when he said, who do men say that I am? Peter said all these things, and finally he said, who do you say I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, flesh and blood has not revealed that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So who believes our report? Not those who work up some personal internal faith. It becomes our faith because we receive it of Christ. But not something that human faith or that they work up, or some magic formula that they come up in front of the church and say. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The elect of God. That's the only way. Isaiah continues, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. Now, that's the Christ of Scripture. That's the Christ that saves. Not the one that's, they worship that little baby in a manger and get all excited about that, and on Easter have their bunnies and their color. That's, no, he is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows. And acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is was despised, and we esteemed him not. And then Isaiah says this, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Well, Isaiah didn't mean every man without any exception that's ever been born. He meant the elect of God. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. So there it was, as in Deuteronomy, and as Paul refers to here in Galatians, he was cursed. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He hath borne our griefs and sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, because he was. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. He was made a curse for us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He became a curse for us. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. We have no concept of what happened. You know, the Lord turned the lights out for 3 hours. God the Father poured his wrath out on God the Son. And we could sit here and talk about all the terrible agonies of crucifixion, and it was the worst of deaths. But brethren, it was a lot more than that. The Romans inflicted that because we can see that, we can understand that. But God the Father poured out his wrath on God the Son. I can't even imagine. Okay, now I got talking lost. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. There's that word seed again that we see Paul talking about as well. His seed, his people. He was cursed for us, that he might bring us to God. Verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And what does the Lord say? It is finished. There wasn't anything to add to it. These folks that had come in here to the Galatian churches and saying, well, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to add that. No, let me tell you something. It is finished. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide with him a portion of the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. He hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Oh, what glorious truths. The gospel didn't change from what Isaiah preached. And what was revealed to Abraham? What Paul preached? It wasn't something new that these folks come into Galatia and started adding. Glorious truths that are known only to the chosen redeemed of God. He died for us. He died in our place. He took our place. Those things are revealed to the elect of God in time. Paul didn't always know these things, but the Lord showed them to him. And he shows it to his elect people. They're only known to the chosen of God. They were known to Isaiah. They were known to Abraham. He saw, the Lord said, he saw my day and rejoiced in them. They were known to the saints in Galatia. And they're known to his elect that are here today. What a glorious thing. And it's nothing in us. It's all by him. And there's nothing we can add to that. And we'll pick up next week and look at verse 14 where Paul returns again to the blessing of Abraham, which is an eternal decree of God. God's going to accomplish his eternal decrees as it touches his people, as it touches everything. Let's take our hymnals this morning. Let's stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 247. And we'll stand as we sing this closing hymn. 247. All the way my Savior leads me.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divine as comfort, here by faith and him to dwell. Oh, I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me peace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, though a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, though a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love, perfect rest to Jesus brought us in his Father's house above. When my spirit filled immortal wings this flight to realms of day, bless my song through endless ages, Jesus with me all the way. Bless my song through endless ages, Jesus with me all the way.
Father, we thank you for this day and for each one that you brought to be with us here. Lord, we just marvel at your grace and your love. That the spotless and sinless Lamb of God was cursed for us, that he might bring us unto God. Lord, how humbling that is. And Father, as we contemplate those things, may it draw us closer to thee. Or may you use those truths to conform our lives to the image of your Son. Father, we do pray for those who are faithful preachers, our sister churches, Lord, our sisters and brothers in the Lord that yet stand in these days in which we live. Pray that you might purge their hearts. We pray, Lord, that you might keep us all from error, from being drawn away, even as what overtook the saints there in Galatia. Give us strength and discernment. Father, thank you for one another. Thank you for this fellowship. Lord, thank you for that eternal love that's manifested in time as you reveal unto us your arm and you reveal unto us our Savior. Thank you for the work of the Spirit that gives us life, that gives us repentance, that gives us the faith of Christ. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.